26. I'd have sworn, said one intern, when we first got there, that old man was dead. The ambulance and the police car had pulled up at the same moment at the crossroads going back into town. One of the interns had called over. Now one of the policemen called back. You're joking! The interns sat in their ambulance. They shrugged. Yeah, sure, joking. They drove on ahead, their faces as quiet and white as their uniforms. The police followed, with Jim and Will huddled in back, trying to say more, but the police started talking and laughing, retelling everything that happened to one another. So Will and Jim wound up lying, giving wrong names again, saying they lived around the corner from the police station. They let the police drop them at two dark houses near the station, and they ran up on those porches and grabbed the doorknobs and waited for the prowl car to swing off around the corner into the station. And then they came down and followed and stood looking at the yellow lights of the station, all sun-colored at midnight, and Will glanced over and saw the whole evening come and go in Jim's face, and Jim watching the police station windows as if at any moment darkness might fill every room and put the lights out forever. On my way back into town, thought Will, I threw away my tickets. But, look, Jim still has his in his hand. Will trembled. What did Jim think, want, plan, now that dead men lived and only lived through the fire of white-hot electric chair machines? Did he still very much love carnivals? Will searched. Faint echoes, yes, they came. They went in Jim's eyes, for Jim, after all, was Jim, even standing here with the calm light of justice falling on his cheekbones. The chief of police, Will said. He'd listen to us. Yeah, said Jim. He'd wait just long enough to send for the butterfly net. Hell, William, hell, even I don't believe what's happened the last 24 hours. But we got to find someone higher up. Keep trying. Now we know what the score is. Okay, what's the score? What's the carnival done is so bad? Scared a woman with a mirror maze? So she scared herself, the police'd say. Burgled a house? Okay, where's the burglar? Hiding inside an old man's skin? Who'd believe that? Who'd believe an old man was ever a boy 12? What else is the score? Did a lightning rod salesman disappear? Sure, and left his bag. But he could have left town. That dwarf in the sideshow. I saw him. You saw him. Looks kinda like the lightning rod man, sure. But again, can you prove he was ever big? No. Just like you can't prove Cougar was ever small. So that leaves us right here, Will, on the sidewalk. No proof except what we saw. And us just kids. The carnival's word against ours. And the police had a fine time anyway there. Oh, gosh, it's a mess. If only there was still some way to apologize to Mr. Cougar. Apologize? Will yelled. To a man-eating crocodile? Jehoshaphat! You still don't see we can't do business with those Omers and Goffs? Omers? Goffs? Jim gazed upon him thoughtfully, for that was how the boys talked of the creatures who dragged and swayed and slumped through their dreams. In the bad dreams of William, the Ulmers moaned and gibbered and had no faces. In the equally bad dreams of Jim, the Goffs, his peculiar name for them, grew like monster meringue-paste mushrooms which fed on rats, which fed on spiders, which fed in turn, because they were large enough, on cats. "Ulmers! Goffs!" said Will. "You need a 10-ton safe to fall on you? Look what happened to two folks already, Mr. Electrico and that terrible crazy dwarf. All kinds of things can go wrong with people on that darn machine. We know, we seen it. Maybe they squashed the lightning rod man down that way on purpose, or maybe something went wrong. Fact is, he wound up in a wine press anyway, got run over by a steamroller carousel, and so crazy now he doesn't even know us. Ain't that enough to scare the Jesus out of you, Jim? Why, maybe even Mr. Crosetti. Mr. Crosetti's on vacation. Maybe yes, maybe no. There's his shop. There's the sign, closed on account of illness. What kind of illness, Jim? He eat too much candy out at the show? He get seasick on everybody's favorite ride? Cut it, Will. No, sir, I won't cut it. Sure, sure, the merry-go-round sounds keen. You think I like being 13 all the time? Not me, but for cry-yi, Jim, face it, you don't really want to be 20. What else we talked about all summer? Talk, sure. But throwing yourself headfirst in that taffy machine and getting your bones pulled long, Jim, you wouldn't know what to do with your bones then.
I'd know, said Jim in the night. I'd know.
Sure, you just go away and leave me here, Jim.
Why, protested the other, I wouldn't leave you, Will. We'd be together.
Together? You 2 feet taller and going around feeling your leg and arm bones? You looking down at me, Jim? And what did we talk about? Me with my pockets full of kite string and marbles and frog eyes, and you with clean, nice, and empty pockets and making fun? Is that what we talk? And you able to run faster and ditch me?
I'd never ditch you, Will.
Ditch me in a minute.
Well, go on, Jim. Just go on, leave me, because I got my pocket knife, and there's nothing wrong with me sitting under a tree playing mumbledy-peg, while you get yourself playing crazy with the heat of all those horses racing around, but thank God they're not racing anymore.
And it's your fault, cried Jim.
He stopped. Will stiffened and made fists.
You mean I should have let young Mean and Terrible get old Mean and Terrible enough to chew our heads off? Just let him ride around and hawk his spit in our eye? And maybe you with him, waving goodbye, going around again, waving so long, and all I got to do was wave back, Jim, that what you mean?
Shh, said Jim. Like you say, it's too late. The carousel's broke.
And when it's fixed, they ride old horrible cougar back, make him young enough so he can speak and remember our names, and then they come like cannibals after us, or just me?
If you want to get in good with them and go tell them my name and where I live,
I wouldn't do that, Will.
Jim touched him.
Oh, Jim, Jim, you do see, don't you? Everything in its time, like the preacher said only last month. Everything one by one, not two by two. Will you remember?
Everything, said Jim, in its time.
And then they heard voices from the police station. In one of the rooms to the right of the entrance, a woman was talking now, and men were talking. Will nodded to Jim, and they ran quietly over to pick their way through bushes and look into the room. There sat Miss Foley. There sat Will's father.
"I don't understand," said Miss Foley, "to think Will and Jim would break in my house, steal, run off."
"You saw their faces?" asked Mr. Holloway.
"When I screamed, they looked back under the light."
She's not mentioning the nephew, thought Will. And she won't, of course.
You see, Jim, he wanted to shout, it was a trap. The nephew waited for us to come prowling. He wanted to get us in so much trouble, no matter what we said to anybody, police, parents, that nobody'd listen to us about carnivals, late hours, merry-go-rounds, because our word'd be no good.
I don't want to prosecute, said Miss Foley. But if they are innocent, where are the boys?
Here, someone cried.
Will, said Jim. Too late, for Will had jumped high and was scrambling through the window.
Here, he said simply as he touched the floor.